I care not today what tomorrow may bring, if shadow or sunshine or rain. The Lord I know ruleth for everything, and all of my worry is vain. Living by faith in Jesus above, confined in His great love, safe from all harm in His sheltering arm. I'm living by faith and feel no alarm.
Though tempests may blow and the storm clouds arise, obscuring the brightness of light, I'm never alarmed at the overcast sky. The Master looks on at the strife. Living by faith in Jesus above, trusting, confiding in His great love, in His sheltering arm. I'm living by faith and feel no alarm. I know that He safely will carry me through, no matter what evils betide. Why should I then care though the tempest may blow, if Jesus walks close by my side? Living by faith in Jesus above, trusting, confiding in His great love, safe from all harm in His sheltering arm. Living by faith and feel no alarm. Our Lord will return to this earth some sweet day. Our troubles will then all be o'er. The Master so gently will lead us away beyond that blessed heavenly shore. Living by faith in Jesus above, trusting, confiding in His great love, safe from all harm in His sheltering arm. I'm living by faith and feel no alarm.
Speaking in the book of James this morning, if you have your Bibles, you want to go to the book of James. Not a real big book, but a very powerful book. James chapter 1. While you're getting there. You know, a couple weeks ago we celebrated the 4th of July. But, you know, the Declaration of Independence, when I was studying through what to prepare for the 4th of July, I kind of had more. And I had some thoughts, you know, and I wanted to continue sharing these thoughts with you about some of the things that I saw in the Declaration of Independence. It concludes with this pledge for the support of this declaration with a firm reliance on the protection of divine providence. We mutually pledge to each other our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor. Man, that just really hit me. And, you know, these 56 men signed the document. They came from all walks of life, just like we do. The 23 were lawyers. I don't know if 23 of us are lawyers or not. Hope not. I mean, I don't know that or not. 12 were merchants, 12 were farmers, 4 were physicians, 2 were manufacturers, 1 was a politician, 1 was a printer, and another one was a minister. And almost a third of the signers were under 40 years of age. Can you believe that? 18 were in their 30s and 3 were in their 20s. Only 7 were over 60. And the youngest, Edward Rutledge of South Carolina, was 26 and a half years old. And the oldest was Benjamin Franklin, which he was 70. So they were just a large group of young people, really, in this crew. But one thing I see with these guys is they were men of action. They were men of action. You know, so here in the book of James, it's a practical book, and it calls on Christians to just do what it says. Really, to be Christians of action, to be men and women of action, which means to just do what it says is what he's getting at. And if we read here, starting in verse 19, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word, Lord. Just let it fall upon our hearts today, Lord. Let it just penetrate us completely. So, Lord, when we leave here, we leave better than we came. So, Lord, I just pray your Holy Spirit's anointing here today. Lord, just remove anything from me, Lord, that may hinder your word from being spoken. So I praise you in everything. Amen. So it says, my dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry, because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. Now listen to this. He says, therefore, get rid of all moral filth and evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror, and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. Those who consider themselves religious and yet do not keep a tight rein on their tongues deceive themselves, and their religion is worthless. Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this: to look after orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. So this call to just do what it says, can we say that just like our founding fathers here in this country, with a firm reliance of the protection of divine providence, we mutually pledge to each other our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor. And I wonder right now, I wonder if we as a church family would rely on divine protection and pledge our lives to God today. Amen? Can we do that today? You know, see, God's not asking us to live for Him as much as He is asking us to die to self and to die for Him. My challenge to all of us today is to just do what it says. To just do what it says. Give ourselves completely to God. And let the Lord Jesus be Lord in your life. So here in the book of James, it just outlines that. To just do what it says by obeying God's word. The first thing I find here is, and we learn this in this passage, is we need to receive the word. We need to receive it into our lives. And Rick Warren said this in one of his books: we only believe the parts of the Bible we obey. You know, there's a lot of people like that. Amen? Amen. They only believe, you know, they only obey what they believe, you know, the part that they believe in. The Word of God is to totally saturate our lives. It's to be a part of us. We are to be a people of the book. Amen? This is what we have right here. This is the living Word of God right here. He gave this to instruct us, to teach us, to guide us, to direct us. And yes, correct us. That's the one we don't like. But that's what it's for. Its authority should govern our actions and our attitudes. It becomes the way we live. This holiness lifestyle that we preach about as Nazarenes is just that. We are who we say we are. Not just on the outside, but on the inside too. Why? Because the Word lives in us. Who is the Word? That's Jesus Christ, right? This book lives within us. Why? It's the words of God. He lives within us, so we do what it says because it saturates our lives. It changes our attitudes. It's who we are. Scripture says, therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness. The term there, lay aside, means to reject or cast off. Get rid of. It's what the writer of Hebrews said in 12:1. He says, therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run the race, let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. We have this race that we're running that's been set before us, and we need to reject sin so that sin that so easily ensnares us. It gets a hold of you and starts to try to control who you are, and we have the power to say, get away. We don't allow that to happen because of the Word of God. Sin has to be rejected in order to run the race that God has set before us. And if we are to be champions for God, we must reject sin. I know we're not perfect people. We're not. We mess up. We make mistakes. But if our heart, our desire is saturated with the Word of God, it keeps us from those snares. It reveals those things in front of us. The Bible not only says reject sin, it also says to cast it off. If you've got sin in your life, if you've got things that you're strongholds that you're dealing with in life, the Bible says cast them off. Get rid of it. Do away with it. Romans 13:12-14 says the night is far spent, the day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly as in the day, not in revelry and drunkenness, not in lewdness and lust, not in strife and envy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lusts. If we really receive the Word of God, we will change our actions by casting the sin out of our lives. It changes us. It changes our attitudes. Amen? Amen? It changes who we are. We receive meekness with the implanted Word. That meekness is a foreign word in the life of the believer today, I think. We have bought into the lie that meekness is weakness. It's not. Nothing could be farther from the truth. The word means mildness by implication of humanity. The word picture is a taming, a wild horse, a power that's under control. Spiritual maturity is being meek. Look what Jesus says in Matthew 5:5. Says, "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." Jesus said in Matthew 11:29, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls." You know, there are many people, unfortunately, look at Jesus like he was the gentle, mild-mannered, clumsy Clark Kent. I'm telling you, Jesus wasn't Superman. He was God, man. And he calmed the storm. He changed the water into wine. He fed the multitudes. He cast out demons and he changed funerals into praise meetings. He could have come off the cross, but he didn't. He chose to be meek so that you and I could become powerful. Listen to me this morning. Sometimes we need an attitude adjustment, don't we? I remember that song. I had a song. He says, "You need an attitude adjustment." Hank Williams Jr. sang it. I remember that. Sometimes I think I've needed that in my life. I think Mom and Dad both has gave me that a few times. But sometimes we need God. God does that. He gives us an attitude adjustment at times. It's what the Holy Spirit does. We have things that we don't like in life. You guys are just looking at me right now like... There are, right? Am I wrong? There's things we don't like. You know, there's things that aggravate me. Believe that or not, I get aggravated at times. I really do. And I know this week at District Assembly, McDonald's, we pick on McDonald's a lot. I've heard that. But I'll tell you, every now and then I like to go through McDonald's and get me a coffee because I like McDonald's coffee. But it seems like I go... and I order a coffee. I say, "I want a regular coffee." This is what I do. I pull up to this, you know, the little box that you speak into. I say, "I want a regular coffee, 4 sugars. That's all I say. And they'll say, "Do you want cream?" It's like, "No, I just said I want 4 sugars. That's it. I didn't want anything else, right? I just wanted a coffee with 4 sugars. So then I pull up over there and I get the cup and it's got the sticker on it. And 9 times out of 10, I promise you, 9 times out of 10, if I don't pull the lid off of it, it'll have 4 creams and no sugar. Leanne, she'll say true. So many times I've gotten that and I've drove off. You know, I just reach in, I trust them. I reach in, I grab it, and I drive off, and I take a drink, and I'm like, it's got cream in it, no sugar. I mean, who drinks that? Sorry, Tanya. Me, she says. I knew somebody drank it. And I'm like, you know, it's not what I ordered. It's not what I wanted, you know. So, you know, you're like, okay, now you got it. Because right now you can't even go inside. I mean, they got the thing all messed up. So now what do? You're going to have to drive all the way back around and go through drive-thru again? For a coffee that costs $1? I mean, I want my coffee. I need coffee. Yeah. Yeah, they didn't used to do that at Burger King. Ever. No, John Michael and Macy, they both worked at Burger King. Nothing ever got messed up at Burger King. Maybe now, but not then. But you know, those things like that, I mean, you know, I got things to do. I don't have time to drive back around through drive-thru and wait and order coffee again for them to try, maybe get it wrong again. You know, I mean, those things happen in life and we get all aggravated. And, you know, we could go, and here's what I'm trying to say. What I'm trying to say is, You know, when you look at somebody and you see this confused look on their face because they don't really know, and you're trying to explain, I didn't order that. It's not what I wanted. And there's, oh, I'm sorry. I don't know whether they really mean it or not. But the thing is, it's my attitude that I could have with them. It's what, you know, I would like to just tell them, you know, how I feel, but sometimes that Holy Spirit just comes up in me and is like, you know, you need to be meek. You need to be nice. Because that's what the Lord would do. He wouldn't yell at them and scream at them. You know, he wouldn't get all mad, throw the coffee at them. You know. That's what you feel like, dude. You know, I think about those things, you know. People cut you off in traffic. I mean, there's so many things that we get aggravated at. And it's how we, you know, God calls us to be meek. Not to be all bent out of shape. And, you know, there's place for that, you know. But it's usually out in the middle of a 40-acre field where nobody else is watching. You know, that's when we just can vent, right? No. God's watching then, isn't he? And he's like, what are you doing? Golly, you're not my kid. That's what you know, you think God would say something like that, but he doesn't. He's like, you know, yep, he's my kid. And I love him. And we're going to have those times in our life. That's why we need to stay so close to God. We need to stay so saturated in the Word so that when those moments happen, we can show the love of Christ and not our selfish, fleshly ways. Second thing is we need to practice the Word. It does take practice. It takes work. It's not something that we can just, okay, I got it, man, and just I'm full of the Word right now. I got saved, I'm full, I'm done. That's it. Doesn't work that way, does it? You don't fill your tank up with fuel and drive 500 miles and expect not to have to fill it up again. Think about it. We have to come. That's why it's so important that we come together as a body of believers, lift each other up, spur each other along, pray for each other, expect. Man, when I got up this morning, I was like, God's going to do something amazing this morning. Brother Keeley texted me last night, asked me how I was feeling. Appreciate that. He said he's praying for me. I texted him back last night. I said, I'm doing much better, and I can't wait to see what God's going to do tomorrow. That's the way I feel. Because I don't know what it is that God's going to do, but I know he's going to do something. And it's going to be amazing. Because that's who God is. We have to practice the Word. Verse 22 and 25. You know, John Phillips writes this, there is to be willing cooperation on our part. Obedience to the Word. If the Word is to actively transform us, as practical as ever, James pours scorn on merely listening to the Word of God. He says we must do what it says. I like that. Kind of goes along with what I'm talking about this morning. James talks about two types of Christians here, the forgetful hearer. It always amazes me that people can sit in church week after week hearing the Word of God and continuing to do their sinful lifestyles. They know they're not saved and never received, you know, I just don't get that. I don't get it, but you know what? It's not for me to judge. And one of these days we're going to have to stand face to face with God and give an account for what we do. Everything. I want to say that I didn't waste my time here on earth. That's what I want to believe, that I haven't wasted my time here on earth. I want to say I've done my best to do what the Bible says, to be obedient to Him. You know, a person can be here every week serving in the church and still be disobeying God by not obeying His Word. Just coming to church and attending church. And James says, don't be a forgetful hearer. Be a faithful doer. You see, the hearer, one, does not live out the Bible, he's walking in deception. And the enemy's lying to you. You know, the Bible brings freedom and victory. And if we continue walking in its truth, will we be blessed in what we do? What's the difference between a relationship with Jesus Christ and walking in fellowship with Christ? When a person receives the Word of God and becomes a child of God, they become a child of God. Amen. Did you hear me this morning? We become part of His family. Just like the prodigal son. In Psalms 1:3, it says, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the river of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaves also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. Anyone who practices the word by obeying it will be blessed in whatever they do. I'm not saying it'll make you wealthy, but you'll be blessed in your spirit in whatever you do. You'll know you're doing it for the Lord. The last thing I want to talk about is we need to share the word. You know, 26 and 27, we see this contrast. We see the contrast between spreading poison and sharing the word. And what's killing our churches and what is growing our churches. We see that the difference between one who professes to be saved and one who is really saved. And that's the difference. We got to be what we say we are. A phony religion, it talks about. In verse 26, the Bible says, an out-of-control tongue is making one's religion absolutely worthless. James is pretty tough on you right here. He doesn't pull any punches. Especially when it comes to what we say. It's like I talking about that person there that hands me the coffee that's wrong. I mean, I have the ability to either build that person up that day or tear them apart and make their day be horrible. Leviticus 19:16 says, Do not go about spreading slander among your people. Do not do anything that endangers your neighbor's life. Talking about gossiping. That's a big one. We like talking about people, don't we? We like talking about them. Instead of talking bad about them, we need to be praying for them. Amen. Solomon talks further on there in Leviticus about arrogant eyes and a lying tongue and hands that shed innocent blood and a heart that plots wicked schemes and feet that are eager to run to evil and a lying witness who gives false testimony and one who stirs up trouble among brothers. And out of the six of those things that he talked about, God hates three of them the most, I think, and it has to do with the tongue. I could keep on that subject pretty strongly this morning. but I won't keep you. Are we a church that does what it says? Are you a Christian this morning that does what it says? Are you a person this morning that is willing to stand up and say that I'm a child of God and I'm going to do what it says? Amen? Amen? He's my Lord. Just like the signers when they said, I give everything. I give my life. Are you willing to do that this morning? Are you willing to give everything for God? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word, Lord. Lord, I believe I said what you wanted me to say. So, Lord, I just pray that if there's anyone here this morning and their heart is not clear, Lord, that, Lord, you just change their life right now as you can do. Lord, I praise you and I thank you for all that you've done and all that you're going to do. Let us leave here better than we came. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.